Hello, Kathy. This is Michael Criswell with Relentless Heart. Sister, you are not too far and too gone. I promise you, there is no depth too deep that God cannot reach deeper. You have to just trust me on this. I've been doing this for several years now, and I promise you, I can tell you stories worse, I'm sure, than what you and I have ever even imagined as being painful in our life. And God got them through, and so we can know that He can get us through. And you have to know this. You have to believe this. And I want to just to direct you to one video. I'm just going to share a couple of things with you, but I want to direct you to a video that I did called How to Find God's Help Through Painful Trials and Suffering. Maybe perhaps I can send you the link in this comment, but find it in my channel, and it'll really help you understand the role that suffering plays in the life of all Christians. Unfortunately, Kathy, most of us have been improperly taught what Christianity is. I promise you, if you've been listening to American pastors, if you've been going to church in the United States of America, I'm 95% certain you have been told incorrectly about what the true Christian life is. In Philippians 1:29, Jesus Christ, it is said that it has been granted on us, on Jesus' behalf, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. And this is very much a part of the Christian life, is to suffer. Jesus taught in John 12:24, He says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies," that kernel of wheat is Him, and it's also us, because He is the example for us. "Unless that kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And it also, Jesus taught that everyone will be salted, made salty, tasteful, unique, standing out in the world. We will be salted with fire, the fiery testing of affliction. Luke 8:13 says that there's a seed, the word of God, that falls into some people's hearts, but it's like it falls on a rock and they receive the gospel at once with joy. But when the time of testing comes, they quickly fall away because they have no root. See, this is what true faith is about. It's about believing God when you have no reason to believe God. That's what real faith is, Kathy. Honest to goodness, it's when you believe God is good when there is no good in your life. That's what real faith is. Sister, everybody else preaches this watered down false gospel, an old covenant gospel that teaches you that God has a plan for you and He wants to prosper you. Jeremiah 29:11. Yes, He wants to prosper you, but yes, it's now in the heart and it's born out of affliction. You know, the soil of suffering and affliction is the soil that deep faith grows in. That's where strong faith grows, is when difficulties come upon you. So I promise you, it's not too late for you. It doesn't matter what you've been through. What you must do at this point, sister, is you must learn what the Father's heart is. You gotta see your life the way God sees it. And that requires God's help. Only the Father can help you to see your life the way He does. You and I see things before we become full in Christ. We see things through the lens of our upbringing, through the lens of our society and our culture, and through the lens of whatever teaching we've been giving. And sister, most teaching is false today. And so Christians wonder, why am I suffering? Why am I going through such difficulty? When Jesus Christ Himself said, "You are going to have troubles in this world. Take heart, though, I have overcome the world." You know, look at what Paul teaches in Romans 8:17. He says, "But if we are children," and I'm presuming you are, I'm not 100% certain. I don't know if you've actually been saved, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have actually turned from your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His blood shed on the cross, and that if your faith was real as evidenced by your obedience to Him, because that's the only real way that we prove our faith. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Matthew 14:21, He says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me." In Luke 8:21, it says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." John 8:51 says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who keeps my word will never see death." So being a Christian Just going back to the basics is, one day you realized, my goodness, I am carrying this burden of sin in my life, and I recognize I am going to have to give an account for this, and I will be judged. And then your heart is illuminated to the gospel, the good news. God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for you, to be a sin offering for you. And he came and he died on the cross, this brutal death, this man and this God-man who never sinned, who was blameless and faultless, perfect and holy, royalty of royalty, King of kings, Lord of lords, became a man, humbling himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross, and died for your sins. So that when you pass through this life, Kathy, which is no life at all, the Bible teaches that, you know, if you love your life in this life, you're going to lose it in eternal life. This is the new covenant. In the old covenant, God would bless you in this life. If you obeyed, he gave you plenty of cattle. He gave you plenty of sons. He gave you plenty of money, plenty of crops, made your enemies be at peace with you. That's old covenant. That's dead. In the new covenant, when you read the new covenant, everyone suffers. Everyone suffers. Everyone. You will not find a single person in the new covenant. And you will not read Christian history, sister, and find one person worth any salt at all in the kingdom of God that did not suffer intensely. Intensely. In fact, I will say this to you, and it's a fact. It's not Michael's opinion. The more a person suffers, and the more that person suffers under the understanding of God, and they suffer in faith, the more useful they are to God. It is the way it works. And oh, by the way, God can be with you in the suffering, and that suffering that you're feeling now, which I've felt it too, and suffering on behalf of Jesus is far different than suffering apart from him. Jesus will be with you, and he will give you guidance, and he will let you know he loves you and he's proud of you. And it doesn't matter, Kathy, what sin has been done to you or what sins you've done to yourself. If you want a fresh start with Christ, you can do it. And I can promise you this, I'd be willing to bet the farm that you're like even me for 19 years, that if you are right now calling yourself a Christian, heaven's perspective says no. Because for 19 years, I called myself a Christian like 95% of Christians in the United States do and around the world. They go to church. They believed in their mind that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, died and rose again on that cross, shed his blood. And they believe in the Bible. They believe God's the Word. They believe all the doctrines. They believe everything's correct. But yet they do not live as if Jesus Christ is coming back tomorrow. They do not live by the Spirit. They do not live in obedience to the words of God. They live as if he is this far-off life insurance package or eternal life insurance package, or as if he is the God who was, not the God who is. Sister, I will tell you, other people we know will tell you, God is real. You can have a real relationship with him. He can become so important in your life that nothing or nobody else matters. If everything else went away, you're the most happy, most content, most blessed, most joy-filled, peace-filled person you've ever met. The presence of God can become your reality. Here's the problem. You have to fight for it. You have to fight against the world, overcoming the world, and you have to fight against yourself. You have to be willing to die for Jesus Christ. There is no other way to find happiness in Jesus Christ than to die with him. If you've ever been baptized, it symbolizes you're dying with Christ. Taking up your cross every day is dying with Christ. Denying yourself, your plans, your goals, your expectations, your relationship desires, your career desires, your money desires, your family desires. You deny yourself all things for Christ. When you first hear this, you say, I don't want to have anything to do with denying myself. That sounds painful. Doesn't God love me? Doesn't God want me to have some sense of feeling good, like life is worth living? Oh, yes, sister, he wants you to enjoy life and life to the full. But he wants you to lose your life in this world so that you can keep it for eternal life. Jesus said, whoever loves their life in this life will lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In Matthew 16, 24 through 27, Christ said, whoever would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, follow after me. In Luke 14, 33, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must give up everything he has or he cannot be my disciple. Okay, here's the advantage you have. You're hurting. You're at the end of your rope. Sister, you maybe don't realize it right now, but trust me when I tell you, you are in the very best place that any Christian could ever be. It is brokenness. It's the famine. It's like what my wife and I were reading about the prodigal son this morning. He goes off. He tries to live life on his own. He thinks that he's a child of God. Don't we all think, oh, well, I'm a Christian. We go off and we have this notion that God is our father. And we go off into the world with all of the assets and all of our inheritance. And we take all of our resources and talents. We put them into play and we try to build a life. And when it doesn't work like we thought, our world comes crashing in. God allows there to be a famine in our circumstances. God allows our dreams to be shattered. God allows us to have unmet expectations. He does this so that we'll find fullness of life in Him. God is not going to allow you or me, if we are true followers of Christ, or if God sees that one day you're going to enjoy a relationship with Him like you've never dreamed, then what God will do, Kathy, is God will be merciful enough to break you. He will push your train off the tracks to prevent you from running off the cliff. You got to trust me when I tell you, I'm 7 years, 27 years a Christian, okay? I'm 7 years on October 30th. I complete 7 years of an absolute full surrender. I lost everything for Jesus Christ. This is not some Mickey Mouse sermon I'm giving you here. This is rubber meets the road. This is reality. This is take your seminary degree from your pastor and throw it in the garbage. It counts for nothing. This is the reality. I'm telling you, I've lived it. I've walked it. I've breathed it. I've obeyed it. I surrendered. I lost everything for Christ. And I can tell you, every single word He spoke in the Bible is true. But people don't want to believe it. People think they have another way. People think they can climb in over the wall. People think they can worship another Jesus. They can follow another gospel. They can obey a different spirit. You cannot. Sister, the Christian life is so simple. You're a sinner. Christ is not. Christ came. He was a sacrificial atonement for your sin. And He will live in you if you give Him a pure heart and a faithful obedience to Him. He will live in you. And He will allow you to experience the seven key aspects of life to the full that He promised in John 10:10. He'll allow you to experience rest for your weary soul, divine provision for your basic needs being met so that you don't have to worry about how you're going to eat or where you're going to drink or where you're going to sleep or what you're going to wear. He will provide for you a contentment so that the world has nothing for you. People in the world have nothing for you. He will be your everything. He will become your great, magnificent obsession. He'll provide you with freedom from sin, freedom over anger, freedom from addictions, freedom from tempers, freedom from horrible thoughts, freedom, all kinds of any sins. He'll give you freedom. John 8:31 through 36. He'll set you free. He will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding and has nothing to do with your circumstances. Before you find fullness in Christ, your happiness is determined by your circumstances. After you come to fullness in Christ, your happiness is determined by Jesus Christ in you, regardless of your circumstances. You can get to a place where no matter what happens, the most horrible things that would cause most people to want to be suicidal will cause you. It's like water on a duck's back. Okay? I'm there now. No matter what happens in my life, some really evil things just happened not even too long ago, and it's like water on a duck's back because I have the knowledge of my Father and I have His presence in my life. Supposing you woke up tomorrow morning and Jesus Christ was sitting in a chair in your room, how would you measure your circumstances tomorrow morning against the fact that the living Son of God is living in your room? He's sitting there with you, and you realize that when you get in your car to go to work, He's sitting in the seat next to you. And He goes with you everywhere you go, to lunch, to the meeting rooms. He goes with you to the exercise place. He goes with you wherever you go. He's there with you when the people bully you. He's there with you when your relationships go south. He's there with you when people treat you poorly. He's there with you when your bank account balance shows up short. He's there with you when you get bad diagnosis. Whatever, He's with you. How would you feel if you saw Him and you saw His radiance and His glory and you saw Him move and act on your behalf? Sister, you can have this as your reality. This is what Christ promised. He says that He'll manifest Himself to you. John 14:21. He says He'll make His home with you. John 14:23. He'll literally make His home with you now. Now, 7 years to get to this place. You don't get there overnight. You don't get to this place. It's easy for me to talk about this, and it's easy for other people to talk about it. It's a whole different thing to walk it out and live it. But God will help you along the way. I want to encourage you with this last final thought. Please go listen to How to Find God's Help Through Painful Trials and Suffering. And then I want to challenge you. If you really want to find God, I don't know if you do. I can't give you something that you don't already have a desire for. But if you really want to know God, Kathy, if you really want a new, fresh start with Jesus Christ, listen to me. I bet you didn't mess up 19 years of Christianity as best as I did. God gave me a fresh start, okay? He was so kind and so merciful to me to afflict me because I was going astray. I was leaning on my own understanding. I didn't understand God's ways because nobody taught me. This watered-down, ridiculous Christianity today has nothing for me. The Bible is so clear. I want to encourage you. Listen, the beginning of life is Jesus Christ. All who have Jesus have life. All who have Jesus have joy and peace and rest. That's how you find it in Jesus Christ. The starting line is the commands of Christ. Okay? You need to go back to the teachings of Jesus Christ. There's 113, give or take, actionable teachings of Christ. You need to learn them. And I promise you what will happen is as you obey them, God will manifest himself to you. You will obey them. There'll be difficult things to do, but you will see God will help you. And if you cry out like a little girl before your daddy and you say, I can't do this, God will say, no problem, I can. I just need you to stand up, walk to the edge of the boat, put your own legs out, and I'll harden the water. You don't have to do the whole thing, Kathy. I just need you to do your part, and I need to see your faith. So you need to show God your faith, Kathy. I'm telling you, I could share with you testimonies after testimony after testimony of people who took Jesus Christ's John 7:17 challenge. If anyone chooses, are you in anyone? Yes. If anyone chooses to do God's will, which is to follow his teachings, he or she will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own accord. Go to my website, relentlessheart.com. You do not need to buy the book. I've taken the time to put the whole thing online. You can access it all for free via audio and writing. I want to encourage you to start at the beginning. Start listening to the video. Start at the very beginning. Don't go to what subject matter you think. Start at the very beginning and go through the teachings of Christ and prayerfully ask the Father for a fresh start. And Kathy, he will give it to you. My Father is in the turnaround business. There's no accident too messy. There's no destruction too bad that he cannot turn around. I'm telling you. I've seen God turn around absolute disasters in people's lives. Disastrous people's lives. They take the challenge and they write me back. I have a completely new life. I finally know what it is to have the joy and the peace and the rest. I finally know what it is to be blessed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kathy, there's a lot to learn, but you got to start in the teachings of Christ. And God will help you along the way. If you have some specific questions that you want to ask me or my wife about, we'd be happy to prayerfully answer your questions. But I felt led and encouraged to want to inspire you tonight that you can find God's help, that it is not too late. No one has messed up too bad, not even the people that put Jesus Christ on the cross. And I guarantee you, you haven't sinned like they have. May God bless you, Father, in the name of the Lord Christ. I ask you, Lord, for grace for Kathy. I ask you, Lord, to show yourself faithful on her behalf. You are a faithful Father. Lord God, she is in a place where she's seen total darkness. Your word says, Isaiah 50:10, who is the one who fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and who has no light learn to rely on his God and trust in the name of the Lord. Father, I pray that she learns how to trust you. I pray this is a new day and a new start, Father. I pray that you'll encourage her in her heart even now, Father. You'll touch her heart, light hope in her heart, Lord, that this does not have to be the end of life. This is simply a new beginning, a new start, that there's no such thing as too many mess ups, that you never quit. You always keep going. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will make spiritual wisdom and knowledge known to her. I pray you'll increase her understanding of you, understanding of your ways, understanding of how you see what she's been through. Lord God, that you help her to know that if she'll yield it to you, if she'll just humble herself before you and say, here, Daddy, I made a mess. I need help cleaning this up. I can't do this. I have a bad mess. that if she'll cry out to you, you can make yourself known to her and you can help her clean up the mess and give her an entirely new life. One that is useful to the kingdom of God. One that can be used to help other people, and that her tests in her mess can be turned into a testimony and a message of your faithfulness. Father, I pray that you move and act on her behalf in accordance with your Spirit and by your word. And Father, I pray that you will encourage her along the way and show her that you really are interested in having a great relationship with her, that you really can forgive her, that you really do love her, and that you really are in the business of saving us that have failed, us that are ignorant, us that are rejects. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you thanks and praise. We love you and thank you so much for who you are. Father, please bless her now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, may God bless you and keep you. Please let us know if we can do anything else to serve you. Good night. Bye-bye.